From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Mark Report. It's the 19th day of August, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And then later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. And as we close out the program, Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City will join us to take up the agricultural weather forecast. And along the way, Chip Flory and Roger Bernard should join us live from the road on this year's Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Tour right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. Well, the Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished like this. In the nearby September soft red, winter wheat, $4.66 was the settlement price, down 4.5 on the afternoon. December at 493.5, down 4.75, and the March soft red at 512.75, 4.5 lower. September wheat in Kansas City finished at 497.25, the hard red down 1.25 today. From the corn pit back in Chicago, nearby September futures, 5.5 cents higher, $3.20, the settlement for the lead option. December, the harvest month at 327.5, up 5 cents, and the March a nickel higher too, at $3.41.25. May corn, 350.5, up 4.75. July at $3.59, up 4.5 cents. Soy complex now, September soybean futures, $9.97, up 1.5. November beans down 1 cent at $9.58. January at 9.63, 1.5 cents lower. The March at 9.64.75, down 2.25. And the May futures at 9.63.25, down 3.75 for the day. September bean meal futures at 3.16.30, up $2.60. October meal at 2.87.60, unchanged. September soybean oil, 36.11, 17 higher, as was the October. It finished at 36.31. Live cattle futures, August contract, $84.82.5, down 12.5. October, 88.67.5, 17.5 lower. August feeder cattle at 101 and a nickel, down a dime on the afternoon. September feeders at 10 cents lower, 101.15, the final trade there. And the October lean hogs today at $45.75, $1.22.5 higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures have settled. September contract at $72.42 a barrel on the day, $3.23 higher. September ethanol at $1.56.8 of a cent, up 1.6. The natural gas at $3.12.6 on the lead option September, 3 cents higher. RBOB at $2.03.6 of a cent, up 3.5 cents. And the heating oil, that's diesel fuel, 5.6 cents higher at $1.92.1. September propane future still above 90 cents, 90 cents and 6 tenths of a cent at 2.2 cents higher, and the gold futures at $943.30, up $5.60. The Dow now trading at 9,280 is just about 63 points higher. The U.S. dollar at 78.47 is up 0.46, and the CRB index today at 259.73. is currently trading 3.81 higher on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. It says today should be mostly cloudy, scattered showers and thunderstorms. They'll become most numerous during the afternoon. Highs today will range from a not-so-balmy 76 in northwestern Illinois to 88 in the south. Tonight, mostly cloudy skies, scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 64 in northwestern Illinois to 73 in the far southern parts of Indiana. And then tomorrow, mostly cloudy, a few showers, some thunderstorms, widespread early in the day, then becoming more scattered during the afternoon. Highs will range tomorrow from 72 in the far northwestern parts of Illinois to 86 in southern Indiana. The extended forecast says a few showers and thunderstorms will linger across eastern Illinois and Indiana on Friday before a mostly dry weekend. More on the weather forecast when we talk with Drew Lerner closer to the bottom of this half-hour program.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
On a Wednesday afternoon, you're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. On the line with us to take up the agricultural futures markets is Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, some gray skies and cool weather. That won't be real good for finishing out a crop that's already behind in Illinois and Indiana and Iowa. And if the crop scouts are correct, I suppose the Nebraska, while it's behind, well, it's not really behind, but boy, it's a big one, as we've seen. And in Chicago, there were a couple of things happening. The marketplace dropped a bit midday in the corn, but it managed to finish 5 cents higher.
Yeah. A couple things here. You know, the private meteorologist that I called, I called him at 6 a.m. this morning, and then I had to leave and came back at 11:30, and I called him again. And they're pretty high on moisture for the great state of Illinois. He says a half to an inch and a quarter. I re-evaluated some of the Ohio data, and it looks like Ohio needs a good drink of water, and they're in the hunt for some rain. So the crop scouts driving around will be driving through rain today in Illinois and parts of Iowa and southern Illinois, at least Oakland, Illinois, needs a good gentle 1 to 2 inch rain, and we hope it happens.
And should that happen, do you think that the crop scouts who've been finding, I think in at least Iowa and Nebraska, they've found some awful good crops, certainly in Nebraska. Chip Flory told us yesterday, and I saw some of the reports of the final numbers for last night, that they're thinking that that's a really good size.
You know, the two things that we're hearing is, of course, there are some barren stocks, and the crops in the good areas are excellent, and the crops in some of the bad areas are late, have a lot of growing to do, and I think that that's, you know, basically market information that's been in the market. I think the other one is there's a lot of barren bean plants, and that means that a good inch of rain in Illinois will allow those beans to go on and produce. Historically, this time of year, we get an inch of rain. We had a little rain early in August. An inch of rain now means, you know, we'd put another 6 inches to a foot of beans on top of those beans, and we'd put four or five pods on top of there and increase the size of the bean plant, bean pods, and the bean seed size. And as a result of that, you'd be pushing 55 to 65 bushels to the acre on yield. This is a different year, and it's going to be interesting to see how the bean plant, determines the yield, whether it's a 40-bushel bean crop or a 50-bushel plus bean crop. And we're going to be waiting on pins and needles, but what Paul Cooley wants to see is a good inch of rain, on his farms in Eager County. And also, we did have a good rain in Newman, so we're in good shape there. But, you know, Route 36 South, inch to 2 inches of rain would be great.
Are you concerned at all about September weather at this point?
Well, you know, I think there was in 1974, and I talked to the private meteorologist about that. You know, if we had the weather information now that we had back in 1974, we'd probably know if there would be an early September frost or not. My hunch is that August is going to be warm, and yes, we have to worry about September. But it's really that last week of September and the first week of October that's going to be the big difference here. We're all bracing ourselves to harvest some very high moisture corn. Whenever corn has to move at 24 to 5% moisture, it has to go into the marketplace. That widens the basis and makes it harder to store. The general feeling is if we stay frost-free by October 1st, most of the beans are going to be home free in central Illinois.
Was the settleback in the corn pit today all due to the CFTC announcement with that they had gotten two letters of withdrawal for position limit exemptions in corn, wheat, and soybeans?
Yeah. You know, basically that take some of the play off of two large funds, as I understand it. And,
Correct. Of course, I
think they're basically always long, and I think that hurt the wheat market more than anything else. I think the thing that happened to the corn market is that two things. The energy zoomed up. Energy and ethanol and crude oil are all kind of interrelated. The marketplace was horribly short based on the Chinese stock market, based on the U.S. Stock market, based on energy. We're waiting patiently for confirmation. This is about the fourth thing we need to watch here is confirmation that the U.S. economy is bottoming and showing some strength. And right now, it's a follower. If the Chinese stock market is higher, then the U.S. stock market's higher. And we did see crude oil rally, and the stock market did, rally here up 42 points at the present time. What we are finding is the technical people say the stock market's very compressed, and we could explode higher by a couple of hundred points or go down 100 points in here. And I think in the next 10 days, it wouldn't surprise me if we aren't higher in the stock market.
What would you see as one of those things that would tell you that the marketplace for the broader economy is bottoming?
A stock market at 9,500. And the reason I say that is quite simple. The rest of the economy in the world is better than the U.S. We're going to have inflation. They're going to have to inflate our way out of this problem. And there's certain industries can handle inflation and other industries can't, and that's unfortunately. The other one on the Wall Street Journal article this weekend, there's going to be a lot of people that can't afford a home in the United States. And as a result of that, they're going to have to rent. And so we are going to have a very tough economy for a lot of people for a lot of years to come.
I know you have been, since we're on the economy, you have been, and I suspect maintain the idea that farmland is a good investment. Are you still at that point?
Yeah, and one thing that we, as these tour people are going around the Midwest, are going to see a lot more windmills,
right.
and that's bullish. And of course, if you have 5 foot of coal under your ground, that helps too. And one of the things that we do have to do is get a little more energy dependent, use a lot of Illinois coal, use a lot of Illinois wind, and use a lot of Illinois corn for ethanol. And those are three winning deals, and it'll put a lot of people to work. Cheap energy is a good way to put people to work. The administration's a little slow at getting the economy moving here. They've got a bit, Congress is on their side, but people are waiting for, to get the people back to work, and that's unfortunately the slow thing and hurting the economy.
Yeah, I stopped by, Paul, last night at my father's home, and he'd gotten a letter about wind energy. And the kids were with me, and it was the first time it really struck me that the American farmer, the American landowner, was really in the energy business. They've always been in the protein energy business, but that coal seam, ethanol from the corn or soy biodiesel, and then the wind energy makes that land some kind of producer. It's unbelievable, the potential, I suppose, that's out there, isn't it?
That's right. And, there's... there's a big interest in it, and it's a place where farmers and the energy electrical people can hopefully work together and produce added income for value added, which is always important.
All right, Paul, thanks much.
Have a profitable day.
You too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report that happens each and every Wednesday afternoon. If you'd like to hear him again, you can do that at willag.org. That's WILLAG. .org.
Hi, this is Illinois Public Media Agricultural Director Dave Dickey. Join us this evening at the Arthur Community Center in Arthur, Illinois, for another one of our free Illinois Public Media Agricultural Outlook panels. The meeting begins at 6:30. Panelists include Pete Manhart and Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities and Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. That's at the Arthur Community Center in Arthur, Illinois, with a 6:30 start time. The meeting is free. No advance registration is required. We hope to see you there.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report, of course, from Illinois Public Media all week long. We've been keeping up with the Pro Farmer Crop Stats Tours, Pro Farmer Midwest Crop Scout Tour, and on the line with us from the eastern leg today is Roger Bernard. He's calling in. Good afternoon to you, Roger. He's the director there.
Good afternoon.
Where are you today?
Well, we have moved just out of Illinois. We are into Iowa, Clinton County, and we're about ready probably to get wet at some point.
I bet you are. Have you been rained on yet today?
Not yet today, but it isn't looking like we're going to stay dry for the whole day.
I bet the boys in Clinton County would like the rain, and they don't care if you get wet, frankly.
Well, and that's one thing I guess we probably never really complain about, getting wet out here on crop tour, because we know the growers certainly probably don't mind it, although there's a few areas that have had enough rain this year that they might want us to stay dry for a little while.
Would you recap the Indiana numbers for me, please, that you picked off last night?
Sure. On the Indiana corn crop, we found an average yield of 157.35. That was down 4% from a year ago. And we can really credit that up to a crop that looks like it got in with a lot of moisture, in fact, probably too much moisture in some cases. But that gave us some decent kernel rows around. But then things have turned dry. That cool July appears to have masked some of what, dryness impacts could have, but then we've seen tip back. Basically, in almost every year that we pulled out of those Indiana corn fields, we're tipped back anywhere a half inch or more, and, that just kind of eats away at yield, so that's why we're down 4% from a year ago. On the soybean pods, just under 1,200 in that 3 foot by 3 foot square, down 8% from a year ago. And there again, we've got to chalk it up to August weather. Not much rain for those Hoosier State beans, and temperatures that started to warm up. And the bean plants, did have some late bloom, but those little ones, unless they get a shower, which some areas did, probably aren't going to really make it through. So those bean pod counts, a little disappointing maybe in the Hoosier State.
One quick question on the tip back. Most would suggest that if it's back just a bit, a half inch or so, that's correct population. I take it you're seeing more than that, and you're accounting that for drier conditions.
Yes, and some of it was, some of you could see it was kernel abortion. Others you could see it was just, poor pollination, that things never did make it all the way out to the end of that ear as far as pollination goes. So, yeah, it was more than just that usual tip back that you see in those fields.
Yesterday you told us that as you went to the west, things got better. You've been through Illinois now. What did you see?
Well, as we went through Illinois, we're running a out in Illinois today, and as we rolled north out of Bloomington, we've gone up past I-88, past I-80, and then circled back down around to Clinton, Iowa. And we really, started to see, well, we got out of areas that were dry, let's put it that way. There was plenty of moisture up in that area of Illinois this season, and that kind of changed the picture that we've been telling about of that we've seen a really clean set of beans out there, and definitely starting to get into some disease issues as we, work further up into Illinois. Like I said, above I-80, I-88, that's where we really started to pick up some things, saw some white mold. Just as we crossed into Iowa now, started to see some field with SDS. So there's some possible disease issues showing up for the soybean fields in northwest Illinois and into Iowa. Corn running well behind. I mean, we'd sure like to see something that's getting into late, though, early dent stage. We really did not see that. So with that crop has got a lot of work to do. It's going to need really more than normal finish to the growing season at this juncture.
Your colleague Chip Lorre is calling in on the line with us. He's in Iowa at this point. Good afternoon to you, Chip. Thanks for joining
us. How are you, Todd?
I'm doing very well. Where are you today?
Well, right now we are in Sac County. Just went through that hail area that hit up in northwest Iowa, and those guys, they got pounded. The corn's been stripped. It didn't knock it down, but we stopped and we looked at a couple of ears in there. You've got a lot of bruising on those ears, and some mold that's already starting to come in. That hail hit on August 2nd, so it wasn't a terribly wide area, but it was significant enough that, and it goes long enough to from west to east that it's going to have an impact on this area up here. But generally speaking, Todd, this crop over in southwest Iowa was outstanding on the corn side. On the soybean side, the pod counts were coming just in a little bit above a year ago, but below our three-year average on pod counts. But this, the corn crop's a bin buster in southwest Iowa. There's no doubt about it. We're gonna see a real good yield out of southwest. West Central, we're getting into a little bit drier area, and we've got some tip back on the corn. So the moral of that story is that Iowa's got a very good corn crop, but it doesn't mean that we don't have some problems, too. And we're starting to find some of those problems as we get into drier areas and move our way through hail and pick our way through the holes in this corn crop.
Roger, of course, has told us that we might have a problem finishing the corn crop in parts of Illinois because it was so late where he is in Iowa and the south eastern corner now. I suspect that you are not going to have that problem where you've been to this point. Is that right?
I think that's exactly right. Most of the corn, well, the latest corn that we've seen today probably needs another 30, 35 days, and it'll get to maturity. So you get us to September 20th, 22nd, 23rd, something like that, without a frost, and most of this corn up here is going to be just fine. The crop in the southwest part of the state, it is very well along, late dough, early bent, weighing good. It's just a real nice crop down there.
And then tell me about Nebraska. You had 158.82 yesterday, 158.82 is a yield.
Right. That is a big crop. There's no doubt about it. We were up 11.9% from a year ago. I'll just sum it up this way, Todd. I had 150 Nebraska corn growers in the room with me last night. I kind of laid out the case for them, and then I said, okay, somebody, argue with me, fight with me, tell me that Nebraska does not have a record corn yield. There wasn't a one of them that was willing to fight with me over it. So the Nebraska growers know it's a good one. They know they're probably on their way to seeing a record corn yield over there, and I think that's what the crop tour found, too.
I know it's too early to do this, but between what you've seen from Roger and the eastern leg and what you've seen on your western leg, do you think USDA is close to right on their total crop?
I think the South Dakota crop, they probably went a little bit too far. I'm going to lean down from USDA's August 1 numbers in Ohio and Indiana. I'm not sure on Illinois yet. Iowa at 185, a record yield at 185 bushel, I'm okay with that. Based on what I've seen only in that western one-third of the state, Nebraska's got a great crop. I think we've got some things balancing out in this corn crop, Todd, and their number might be pretty good at that 159.5. Of course, we'll figure it all out when we throw all the samples together and take a look at the seven state averages at the end of the tour tomorrow night.
Roger, I've got 10 seconds. Do you agree, yes or no?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment.
Okay.
I really want to hear what our guys say out of the southern part of Illinois, too, today.
Thanks much. That's the Closing Mark Report. Back in two with the weather. We'll be right back.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333. Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com. Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Is in Kansas City at World Weather Incorporated and joins us today to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. It's a cool day here in Urbana-Champaign. Looks like we're going to have a few more. Drew, what do you see?
Well, indeed, we will. We've got a little bit of a cloudy mess of a weather system coming up here that's going to produce showers and thunderstorms across a fair amount of the Midwest as we go through the next 2 days. This will likely bring us more moisture to quite a few areas, some areas that probably don't necessarily want any more moisture necessarily, but others that would certainly benefit tremendously from additional moisture. So the mixed blessing will end up being good for crops in the long haul no matter what. We do have cooler air that's coming in behind this event. Temperatures will be below average for the Friday through Sunday period through a fair amount of the Midwest. It'll be a fairly shallow cold air mass. In other words, it's not something that's going to persist for a long period of time. It will back out of the region late in the weekend, early next week, and we'll find ourselves back looking at temperatures closer to normal. But that is not going to last very long because it looks like another shot of cool air will be coming in for the middle part of next week that will push those temperatures back down below average again. And perhaps for some areas in the easternmost parts of the Midwest, it could be just downright nippy at times during that period of time. But anyway, the bottom line is that we are still going to continue the seesawing back and forth between temperatures that are a little more seasonal and those that are below average. And this is one of the reasons why we're still concerned about that frost freeze potential later in September, because we keep bringing on these cool air masses on a regular occurring basis. Sooner or later, we're going to get caught and put our pants down, maybe.
Indeed. So the month of July in parts of the Midwest was the coolest on record. August, we've got quite some time yet to go, but it's been not particularly hot in this month. Are we setting records or look like we're going to set records for the month of August, too?
I don't think it'll be nearly as cold overall for the month of August. But we may be looking at something when we start putting months together, when we start doing June, July, and August, the summer in general. It might be ranked up there pretty high as far as cooler summers, and we may find ourselves still continuing to perpetuate this trend as we get out into the month of September, because I think we will be seeing some cool weather then as well. So maybe not record levels for August. I think we've done fairly well with temperatures in the first half of the month being a little bit more seasonable, but it's not over yet, and we will be dealing with some more coolness across the area, absolutely.
We look out the next 30 days. Do you think it will continue right on into September?
I do think we will see alternating periods of warm and cool air. Actually, I should say alternating near normal and below normal temperatures during that 30-day period. And that is one of the reasons why I speak softly, but with a little bit of confidence that we will be faced with some kind of early season frost and freeze potential in the upper parts of the Midwest as we get into September. Now, right now, I'm kind of focused on the latter part of the month for the heart of the Midwest, but we could see something come along in the first or second week of September that would be very brief and limited. I don't want to get everybody all riled on that one, but I'm very concerned about the latter part of September into the early days of October, though.
Thanks so much for joining us today.
Have a great day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market.
Great afternoon.